from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
I mean, Kirby is probably the most secure coach in the SEC, Kirby and Stoops, for different reasons. Stoops for going 7-5 at a place where it's hard to go 7-5, and Kirby because he wins at a rate in the last 5 years that no one else has. But other than those two guys, there's not a ton of job security in this conference.
Let's see, who else would you – I'd put Lane in that category.
He's at the pretty high end of the list, I think, yeah.
Is Lane at Ole Miss forever? I don't know, but it's going to be Lane's choice for a very long time.
Yeah, I agree. I think he enjoys I would put him in that camp with Kirby and Stoops. That's a good comparison. Elsewhere, even the programs that are good programs that you think you can pencil in 10 wins plus year after year, I mean, there's not security there. Brian Kelly, I don't think it's particularly warm around him yet, just because, like, I think he's going to win 10 plus games again this season. But if he doesn't, it'll get warm real quick. He's also got the guaranteed contract, but still, it could get warm real quick for him. If Kalen DeBoer doesn't win within the first couple seasons, it'll get real, real warm real quick for him. So these more blue-blooded type programs, these more top-end programs, it can get warm in a hurry. I think Kiffin and Stoops really enjoy that sweet spot of they exceed expectations. There are some radical fans everywhere, but I think most of the fan base at those two places know they've got it pretty good, particularly at Ole Miss. With Lane ripping off 11 win seasons. So those guys are incredibly secure. Kirby's incredibly secure. The list ends pretty quickly after that. Josh Heupel's got the fan base eaten out of the palm of his hand right now, but if Tennessee goes 7-5 this season, they'll be ready to run him out of town lickety split. So, yeah, I mean, the list doesn't go very far. And even as you look outside the SEC, I look in the Big Ten. Dan Lanning's probably pretty secure at Oregon right now.
But he's certainly talking like it.
Yeah, he's certainly talking like it. But elsewhere in the Big Ten, I don't see a ton of guys that just feel unfireable in this moment. So yeah, there's only a handful of guys out there probably in the country. Mike Gundy, ironically, would be one of those guys. But he doesn't seem too interested in player discipline at this point either.
We'll wrap up on this. I'm kind of curious to see how this season goes. What is the standard that DeBoer is going to get held to? Like, on a certain way, it's like following Nick Saban is a miserable experience, but the last guy that did it won a national title as well. And then I'm also thinking, he kind of, I think, benefits from it being the 12-team playoff, because it's like, if you were going to follow Nick Saban and you were going to have to go into this new league and there's only a 4-team playoff, well, that becomes a much harder proposition. But it's almost to me, I think if he makes the playoff in the next 2 years, he's good. But at the same time, it's like, I'm very curious to see how it plays, like to watch what the reaction's like.
Yeah, I think the expectation next year is going to be much, much higher than it is this year. If he gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs next year, I think there's going to be plenty of Alabama fans feeling some angst about a first-round playoff exit next year. This year, If he makes the playoffs, I think the vast majority of that fan base is going to say, great start to the tenure. I do think, you know, normally the expectations at Alabama were to, at the very least, make a four-team playoff, if not win the national championship. It was an incredibly high bar. I'm sure the Roll Tiders would love a national championship this year, but I don't think that's the expectation. I do think, back at the end of January, I think you would have had a decent chunk of the fan base even say like 9-3. But now, DeBoer's built up so much momentum these last 6 months, and it seems like he's got a handle on the job. He's almost kind of ratcheted the bar up, I feel like, these past 6 months. And he's not shying away from the expectations either, which I kind of like about him. You hear a lot of guys at even high-level jobs be like, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time. We haven't heard any of that from Kalen DeBoer. But the flip side of that is, I think he's kind of raised the bar to forget about 9-3. I think the fan base wants playoffs in year one. Now, he doesn't need to win it all, doesn't need to get to the national championship game, but I think 10-2 in the playoffs is sort of the bar for year one. And then I think it goes up in year two of getting back to the playoffs and going deeper than the first round of the playoffs in year two to show some progress. So it's a pretty high bar. It's not as high as maybe the bar that Nick Saban set for himself. But I think because of the way he's operated these 6 months on the job, it's higher than 6-3 or than 9-3 at this point.
Well, and like compare that to Jed Fish, who's following at Washington. He's like, I was so excited for a complete rebuild. Uh-huh. Yeah, every coach I know that walks into a new job goes, man, I love the fact that we don't have any talent. I love that.
Yeah, I really like how DeBoer's handled himself. I mean, he has not shied away from it at all. And maybe it was pointless to try to do that. You're at Alabama,
yeah.
After all. But he's not asked for patience. He's not bemoaned the talent. Like, when I talked to him earlier this summer, and I mean, all he trumpeted was, Alabama's got a really good team, and he believes in him. He wasn't promising national championships, but when I asked him if it's fair to expect the playoffs in year one, I thought he might kind of hedge his bets. He didn't. He said, yeah, it's Alabama. Playoff is the expectation at Alabama. And it's like, okay, I like that you said it, coach, but now you're going to be held to that standard. You said playoffs the expectation. Go out and do it. And frankly, I think he can. He's got a reasonably tough schedule, but I think he's got one of the top 5 or 10 talented rosters in the country, even despite some of the losses. There's still a ton of talent at Alabama.
Blake, we appreciate it, buddy.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks.
Blake Topmeyer, SEC columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. When we come back, we'll get into the list. We got a new contract in the NFL. Somebody got paid. We'll tell you who when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Let's get on the list.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Tua Tagovailoa.
You just made the list!
So Tua got his deal before Jordan Love did. The Miami Dolphins and quarterback Tua Tagovailoa have agreed to a four-year $212.4 million extension, the largest in franchise history, his agency told ESPN's Adam Schefter. The $53.1 million average value of the contract, 53.1 per year, places Tagovailoa third among the league's highest paid quarterbacks, behind only Trevor Lawrence and Bengals' Joe Burrow. Lawrence, I think they're both at 50, they're each at $55 million. The deal includes $167 million guaranteed, eighth most among quarterbacks. Those are kind of the things that I pay attention to. Everyone can do the whole, oh, look at what he's getting per year. I always want to know what the guaranteed is. Eighth most guaranteed kind of shows me, I bet Jordan Love's ends up being about the same thing. This feels like that they're getting the same deal.
I agree, and it also shows that Miami, even though it's a lot of money, I'm with you, look at the guaranteed, it's football. For today's business culture, how it worked, I think this was kind of safe, too, because 4 years, you usually hear
more than that
for
five.
A quarter. No disrespect to y'all quarterback. You would give a Daniel Jones 3 years. I think that's what he got, right? Or five for nine.
It got announced as four. The reality is they can cut him after this.
Yeah, it was something in the language. So when you, to me, anything under five, I feel like they feel like, well, we know he'll at least be good 2 years, and we, after that, we're rich enough to eat 2 years if we have to.
I think the other problem is it's like, what else are they going to do? I mean, Tua's this weird... You're obviously going to have an opinion on him one way or the other, mm-hmm. but I've also thought he's kind of like this... You can see what you want to see. Like, if you want to say, I don't believe in this guy, you can look at the arm strength is not elite arm strength. And then you can pop in the Kansas City game where it got cold and he looked like he couldn't throw the ball. But if you're someone that kind of like wants to be on his side, he is like, he does things that I like. He really gets the ball out on time. Mm-hmm. He's pretty accurate and he moves enough, but he also doesn't really, you don't really see like the stupid boneheaded pick. Like, he'll throw a pick, but it's not like, what are you doing? Like, that's my whole thing. It's the other thing is like, you're becoming desensitized now. It's like, yeah, it's a quarterback. You needed a deal. Of course it was going to be some large figure. It's like, I don't really blink anymore.
Exactly. And then at the end of the day, when me and you did our list of the day, I don't think he made either one of our top 10. But he is a top 15 quarterback, and after 15, it's already major drops within the top 10. But once you get out to 15, now you're going from somebody who might be sleeping on a couch to somebody that's homeless. Like, you're taking a gap. And so if he top 15, which is half of the league, NFL, is it 30 or 32?
32.
So if you're in that top half, I think you're going to get paid, and the next person up, like you say every time, going to get a little money.
The other thing, to your point, I also feel like when we start like going through it, it's almost like 9 through 15, 16, It kind of depends on like what day did you see him.
Yeah,
like, you could make a case for just about any of them.
For like your preference, yeah.
Right? It's like whatnot. I mean, I know there were some people that were trying to do the spin zone of, well, Skylar Thompson started the Bills playoff game and that was a one score game. It's like, let me tell you what, if Skylar Thompson plays the whole year, you've got problems. Like, is Tua a top five quarterback? No, but there are a lot of players that are worse. Like, people that were doing the Skylar Thompson thing, it's like, go pop in the Jets film when Skylar Thompson got the start. Like, there's plenty to criticize. Also, of course, the other thing going around is that Dan Marino, I think, in total made $53 million from the Dolphins, and Tua's going to make that per year. It's also like one of those things, like, I don't care about those details. Like, the league is richer. Yeah. I guess this is the way that it works.
I mean, it is very unfortunately. I will say that. But like you said, it's about when you was born. And people get mad at the old head sometimes for being angry. But if you're Dan Marino, you don't want any hate. But if you know that you're better than 90% of the quarterbacks today, and I know he would never have to work in his life, but they for sure never have to work.
Yeah.
You would be a little, you know, like... Like, they even did something with Tim Hardaway one time. Tim Hardaway is way better than his son, and they saying his son on one contract made more than he made in his career. So, it is tough, but like you say, the NFL is that much richer. It was people in our neighborhoods that probably bought that house for 10 times cheaper the first person they ever bought it. You
yeah,
know,
exactly.
So, it's a kind of how, you know, life and the economy and things work.
Well, that's guess how much money Tim Hardaway Jr.'s career earnings.
It's like over 100, I know, because then he get a big deal.
138.
And his dad made like $50 million or something, right?
I mean, if you told me he made $50 million, I'd kind of be surprised, like, high.
Oh, yeah, it was low, because when he got his deal, I remember a few years ago, they was talking about he made more money on that deal. He had got, like, a 78, some deal he got years ago. Yeah, and that is crazy. Tim Hardaway, the dad, is what, a Hall of Famer? No.
Is he? I feel like he's like the Hall of Very Good.
Good. Okay. But he's really good. I mean, he's a lot better than his son. He could have helped Luka and them out way better than his son in his prime.
Let's see. Five-time All-Star.
You just made the list.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Five-time All-Star, 97 first-team All-NBA, three-time second-team All-NBA. He's got a third-team All-NBA. Yeah,
that's not
a Hall of Famer though.
Okay,
but yeah, but I mean that.
But his son would never make an All Star game.
Correct. Oh, now you got me thinking. Let's see. All right,
it didn't pop up yet.
Let's see. Tim Hardaway. The problem is now when you do Tim Hardaway contract, it goes Tim Hardaway Jr.
The one who actually made a lot of money.
But it's like I want to know how much his dad made. Let's see. Continue without disabling. Yeah. $46 million.
I was like,
40 feels like high. Let's see. Yeah. $46 million. Largest per year was 12 million 1 year. And then the next time, he only had made 12 million. So only once did he make double digit.
And that was towards the end, right?
Because that was the last season of Miami.
Towards the end, and the son was making it. So, yeah, I say that to just say back to your original point, I don't know if we can keep getting mad at that because, like Jaylen Brown, I love him to death. It's a lot of players better than him that'll never make three, but we're signing new TV deals, and that's just where we at now with it.
It's also weird. Why do we care? We're not paying him. We've done this weird thing where, like, we have decided, like, somehow... Other players getting paid, like, we somehow evaluate that. It's like, what do we care? Like, it's different if it's, like, coming from our tax money, but not. But it's like, it's why do we care?
A little bit, though. I don't want to sound like a little hater, but a little bit, though, too. Like, when you see a guy that's, like, making 40 mil or something that ain't really as good or not doing much, you kind of be like, wow. Like, it's a kid, and Mike did a great job with him. Lyft does a great job with different agencies, but... The kid, Max, from...
Struce?
No, not Max Struce. The kid that played for the Lakers, he's from Michigan State. This guy, he barely played in games and got 4 for 32. Do you know, like, seven, eight years ago, 4 for 32 was considered your, for big time, like, not superstars, but right under superstars, like, a huge deal to get 8 men. That has went to, like, somebody who's not even getting in the game.
Hurt. Sam Hauser just got 4 at 45. And Sam's, what, the 8th man? I mean, that's... I know, like, everyone's doing the... It technically doesn't kick in yet. It's like one of those rookie extensions that it gets announced a year before it kicks in. But literally, I mean, what? He was like the 8th, 9th guy on the Celtics is getting $45
million. They kept everybody and paid everybody.
Well, I still don't... I mean, I guess the answer is, like, they are literally just, like, F the tax.
What, the Celtics?
Yeah, because it's like, I still don't understand how they can just... Because essentially to me, it's like they're treating it as if the salary cap doesn't matter.
Some people do that. I know the Warriors was doing that a little bit, too. It looks good when you win the championship. Now, there's some teams that's doing it that never won a championship either. It looks kind of crazy. But, yeah, they kept everybody, man. And it's I don't know how. And Porzingis ain't even – he come up, what, next year?
Yeah, I think – so basically they kept everybody for this year. I think the next year they're going to have to make some decisions because Porzingis, like right now, they technically, the reason why they were able to do a lot of this is they got Porzingis fairly cheap.
Yeah, because he was reproving himself and he did a great job that year with Washington.
Correct. So that's kind of like, but it feels like they're going to have to make decisions after next year, but they're sitting there going, like, let's just keep it together, go for another one.
They likely the favorite. He the only one, I think, though, because Al Horford's getting old. You're not going to have to pay. I think he's the only one they hadn't paid. They paid Brown, they paid Tatum, they paid White, they paid Drew.
Yes.
They paid
They paid Drew and Brown last summer, right?
No, they just extended Drew during this year. Yeah, yeah. They extended Drew, Jason Tatum, and White. So it's really Porzingis, that's it. Because you're not going to have to get Horford, Peyton Pritchard, they gave him a little money already. They gave the other guy you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's really Porzingis.
The one thing I'm monitoring, Drew kind of has a history of being a malcontent. I do wonder if, like, this was just the perfect situation because you got Drew, like, year one. Like, I am curious to see, like, will Drew Holiday become Drew Holiday? Like, that kind of, but I think if it does, they'll just ship him off.
Yeah, Drew can be traded, but this is the crazy thing about Drew. Let me give you some background stuff. Do you know Milwaukee is really mad at that because if they would have kept Drew, they would have been the favorites. Littered and all don't want to play together. By Boston having to send him, Milwaukee had to send him to Portland.
Portland cut
him. It's no way in the world that they thought that the number one team they was going against could get Drew Holiday. That was not their intention, and it just messed everything up.
Yeah, but it's like one of those moves where it's like, you traded him, man. You know what I mean? Like, you could have kept him.
Well, they don't like, sometimes people don't like with, why is Portland making me do this if you're not keeping them?
Right.
You know, that happens a lot. People are like, oh, you got to give me a first round for this game. Or they have not cut players and didn't play them. And people don't get, why do you have to be in the trade? I don't even think it was a money thing with that.
Yeah, I just always come back to, like, you gave up the rights. You know what I mean? Like, and Portland's not in business of trying to help Milwaukee. Like, they're working for Portland. And, like, that was like, we got a chance to get a better deal. I mean, that's a big part of it. And it's also, though, Milwaukee's also kind of having to eat it a little bit because I still think, I know it's fun to make fun of them, but they didn't get Dame for the regular season. They got Dame because they were sick of in the playoffs. They didn't have other offensive options. Everybody would just foul Giannis, and he was 50-50 from the free throw line. So they were trying to get him for the playoff run, and they didn't get to test it because Giannis got hurt and then Dame got hurt. Like, I know it's fun to, like, rip on him, but I don't really fault them for making that. Like, we kind of saw, like, they needed to shake up something.
They had to, because I don't know if you remember, Giannis didn't even sign his extension because he was saying he wanted to see. And after that, he signed a 3-year extension not too far afterwards. But in a perfect world, I think if Drew was on that team, now they win the championship, actually, with everybody healthy. I think now it ain't gotten so out of hand. Boston got so many people. The Knicks just got better. The 76ers just got better with Paul George and all them guys. They're constant. I think Milwaukee is sliding in the wrong direction a little bit. You got Greek Freak. He's one of the most dominant players in the NBA when he gets rolling.
Absolutely.
But I just think the Knicks, like, I don't know if you know Andy Obi played for me or whatever, and so they spent a lot of money and kept. They even had Jalen Brunson. Maybe they hired his dad. He actually left. Now, he could make up a lot of it on the Knicks. He left $100 million on the table to for that.
No,
to
I mean, it is the one thing where, like, that is what you would what you want your stars to do. Like, I understand, like for personal level, like, okay, get all the money you can, but it's like, if I'm rooting for a team, that's what you want. It's like, my guy's taking less money. Now, I think there's also some spin zoning, because it's like, this contract puts him up that there's, what's it, a 10-year, like, he can do the 10-year thing.
Yeah, they say this contract, what it is, if he opt out the fourth year, he can now sign this five for $269 million that'll be available on the new one. So
right.
It's not as much as it sounds like, but right now.
But he is still taking a pay cut.
But yeah, at some point, it's going to be a pay cut.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's like, I know everyone's like, well, it's not quite that. It's like, he could be making more money. We all acknowledge that. That's the one
and
way.
And people outside of the Spurs don't do that. And my boy LeBron about to be 40-some, and I love him to death, but I think he just signed for another $55 million.
No, he tried to talk us into it. He took a pay cut because he, like, shaved $1 million off so they could avoid the second apron, and he tried to sell it like it was a pay cut. It's like, LeBron, come on.
He's a billionaire.
Well, I mean,
now, he did say, to his defense, it was a group of players that he said if they could sign one of them, he would take a pay cut. It was Klay Thompson. A couple. Lakers couldn't, I don't know how, they couldn't get none of them.
LeBron also says a lot of things.
Yeah.
He's trying to own a team. He wasn't going to take a pay cut. He needs cash. He's going to need cash on hand.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to need cash on hand.
Rich Paul said it too, so I don't know. I mean, he's with LeBron.
It's his agent.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the ultimate, like, spin zone people. They're trying to talk us into LeBron, like, that Bronny was somehow, like, earned the right to be on the Lakers. It's like, yo, we don't care, but stop it.
Stop trying to put it in. And you know what gets funny, too? I don't want to go against Bronny moment, but when they go crazy or some people cry at the draft party, like, we didn't, you know, like, other players literally don't know they're about to be drafted. Like, maybe they kept it from Bronny. He didn't know, but I'm sure. Oh, he's grown. He's grown, so
how
I'm
many
sure.
things in the LeBron James universe are not orchestrated?
Yeah.
Everything's orchestrated. Like, so, again, like, my thing is, I truly don't care. Like, that Bronny's got the thing that I find fascinating. The guys that seem to hate on it the most, everyone's like, "Oh, it's media." No, when you see players really are ripping on it. Like when you saw Jaylen Brown at Summer League, he's like, "That guy ain't a pro." Like, they're the ones that seem to be the most annoyed by it.
Yeah, he got caught like that. I mean, you can't talk anywhere if you're rich on the front.
Yeah. You cannot be front row. You can't know. You got to know front row camera's going to be on you.
You got to be like a quarterback. Yeah. You got to have,
you got to get the play sheet. No question. Speaking of other rich guys, Charles Barkley.
You just made the list.
Okay, so Charles went on the Dan Patrick Show today. Also, this from Andrew Marchand of The Athletic. TNT sports analyst Charles Barkley told The Athletic on Friday that he would listen to NBA partners ESPN, Disney, NBC, and Amazon if the remainder of his current 10-year contract with the cable network is not honored. TNT Sports, of course, lost out on the NBA's league's recently announced 11-year, $76 billion rights agreement. You ready for this? My deal is 10 years, $210 million. TNT has to come to me ASAP, and they have to guarantee my whole thing, or they can offer me a pay cut, which there is no chance of that happening, and I'll be a free agent. So we just found out I think that's more than Romo money. I think that makes him the highest paid. I believe that makes him the highest paid sports media figure, because I think Romo's was like 19. Yeah, $210 million's by far the biggest deal.
And Barkley just signed it?
I guess whenever he re-upped with TNT.
Like last year, the year before.
It all runs together. But, I mean, I would think he has still probably at least 5 years. But if you're also Turner, it's like, What are you going to pay him, $21 million for the NCAA tournament? Like, I mean, it seems to me he's just going to be a free agent.
Well, that's interesting because I saw something else he said. It felt like he was really mad and he was sticking with Turner and he was sticking behind TNT. I guess this have changed.
I know you find it hard to believe. Charles will oftentimes say, like, when everyone was freaking out that Barkley said he was going to retire, there was, I think it was Sports Media Watch, went and, like, cataloged all the times he said before he's going to retire. Like, it even starts back in, like, the 80s when he was with, like, the Sixers. He was always talking about retirement. Yeah, no, it's...
Really?
I think Charles starts working a lot, and he's like, this sucks. I just want to play golf. But then he realizes, like, Charles is a guy to me that's like, I don't think he can stay out of the mix. I think he likes being in the mix. And we obviously love Charles Barkley, so he will always have a chance to be in the mix.
No, I'm with it. We all love Barkley. And I think he is disappointed. I guess now he realizes the reality because everybody's, I think, a little disappointed that if they matched it, why? It feels like they're doing TNT a little wrong. Well, we know Amazon will probably be best for business in the long run, the next decade. And, you know, I think they could push them around a little bit. But nobody wants to get
right. I think it's about the next deal. I think there's a legitimate concern. Like, there is this reality of the current TV networks. We don't really know what the model is. It feels like we're moving from the linear model to a streaming model and that they're going to figure it out. It's like, it's instead of just having cable or direct TV, you're just going to have streaming and they're going to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But there is a universe where they don't figure it out and these TV companies don't have the cash. And so I think it's a play that... We know there are one thing that we do know will be true. The tech companies will have the cash.
Yes.
Like, you look at all the market. And so I think that's what they're doing. They want to be in business with Amazon because they know Amazon is definitely going to be... Amazon's going to have the pocketbook the next... When the 11-year deal's up. We don't know if ESPN and NBC are going to have the same pocketbook.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it definitely seemed like. I think... being selfish, though, for not just me, most of us just love watching, is it called Inside
Sports? Inside the NBA or whatever. But it's the best studio show of all the studio shows.
Yeah, and everybody even, loves really not
even,
it.
There's nothing that's even close. I will watch that more than I'll watch the games on TNT.
Yes, because it's sometimes you can miss the game and just show up at halftime in the way Barkley, then you added what Shaq on there said made years ago, and Ernie and Kenny, I think is one of the most perfect mess you could have in NBA sports basketball from personalities to diversity. And I just think that's what everybody is so mad about. Now, I did hear Amazon might want to keep them, but then it ain't the same. And I don't think Ernie can leave because he have a real loyalty to Turner Sports. And people not ready for that to leave. I'm not going to lie. That's a big part of the NBA the last 20 years.
I do wonder, though, how much of it is just Chuck? Because we've seen Chuck... There's been a lot of iterations of this, and it's worked. Like, we always talk about, well, it's the chemistry with Shaq and Kenny. It's like, yeah, but we've also seen Chuck can have chemistry with a lot of people. Like, it almost feels to me like, the only one I do not want him going to ESPN. I think when ESPN, when they do all these studio shows, they try to be too many different things. Like, you know, when we saw in the playoffs, like, they bring in, like, Chris Paul, and everyone's now having to talk to Chris Paul. It's like, I don't care. Like, they, and then, like, it'll be like, you know, well, we'll let Chuck get his stuff in, but then we got to let Malika get her stuff in. And it's like, it just feels like it's just a checklist operation. I just want him to go somewhere where, like, part of the other reason why the TNT thing works is they clearly get to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I'm not sure everybody that's out there is not, like, massive hockey fans. But when they picked up hockey and they started the same hockey studio show, it has the same feel. Like, so all I care about is I just don't want him going somewhere where he's going to have to read a bunch of notes.
But is it that many options? I mean, Amazon, ESPN is like the...
I think in the end I'm rooting for Amazon because if you've watched the Thursday night football, they kind of let that crew do what they want to do. Like when you watch that pregame, like he gets a little... Marshawn does like his like
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, when Marshawn does like his like out there kind of bits that are hilarious. Fitzy gets to do what he wants. Like I think that's what I'm rooting for.
So you remember I told you this off air. This was the first year that I was trying to be stubborn So I didn't order the Amazon. I'm like, why do I got to order something to watch? I've been watching Thursday football forever on NFL TV or every now and then on ESPN. So this year I would have to do it. I'm not going to miss
it. Do you not have Prime already? Like, do you not order stuff from Amazon?
You know what's crazy? When I bought the new house about a year ago, I'm behind. I just started using Amazon. So I know I got Amazon Prime now because everything in the house.
Just for the free shipping.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, see, it's like $100 a year. I don't know.
So that goes right to your TV, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So if you have Prime, you can get the TV as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the games of the weekend. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I think at this point, I think I'm going to have to say it's got to be the men's Team USA game. So Sunday, it will be 10:15 local. You can see it on NBC. We don't have to get a Peacock yet. Serbia. I think that's the game of the weekend. I know we technically saw it a couple of weeks ago, but I feel like Raftery was on the call. He did have an outstanding take. He did think it was bad that Team USA beat Serbia too much. Thought they roughed them up too much. They would come back with a vengeance in the second game. I was like, I kind of get what he's saying, but the problem that I'm seeing is that Serbia team's not very good outside of Jokic. Like, they had other guys. Like, I don't think they have another NBA guy.
Yeah, I don't need it. I think they got some size, maybe a guy. But their guards, I don't think, is good enough.
Yes. Like, they couldn't even, like, at a certain point, it's just Jokic was just playing point guard.
Ooh. Yeah, I think it's going to be about the same. I don't think they'll kill him like this. Well, I don't know, because at some point, the USA got to get motivated too, right?
Well, our boy Marco Guterich also showed back up on that team. Remember when the Grizzlies had him for like a half minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on the Serbian team.
Oh, okay.
That's
not going to
happen. I was like, oh, that's where he is. Let's see. Yeah, I don't. They have a. Well, this is confusing. They have Nikola Jokic, obviously. They also have a Nikola Jovic. One different letter. Instead of a K, it's a V.
So that must be a popular name in that country.
Okay, they do have Bogdanovich.
I was going to say, they got like some big and veteran. I thought they had like 2-3 NBA type of guys that played in the NBA or something, but they're all bigs.
I don't recognize any of the other names. They have Bogdanovich. They have one other NBA guy. I don't know. To me, it's like, I do think you're right in this sense. At a certain point, like, not playing well is alarming. But at a certain point, it's like, I don't know, like, you're traveling all around. Like, they know their exhibitions. Like, I imagine we're going to see a pretty decent intensity level right now. Although there is the question, can you just say, like, all right, now we play?
No, I'm with you. Like, they're making things too close, you know, that I don't like. But, you know, Kevin Durant, is he fair to be back this Sunday? They haven't made an announcement on that.
They're acting like it, but at the same time, it's like, are you okay? You haven't been good enough to do anything, and now we're just playing it. Like, are we just starting him?
Yeah, he said something about Monday. I think we talked about this the other day. Monday already that he's supposed to do two scrimmages first and see how it go. I think Steve Kerr said so. He might not be available for that game, unless it was last Monday.
All right, let's see. I do not see an update. It just says if available.
Yeah, I don't think he'll play Sunday. Do you think he's getting a little bit more love than they gave, a little bit more leverage to get him than they gave Kawhi?
The thing that's weird about Kawhi, though, is now, the Clippers might be lying. Like, I always leave room for people lie. Mm-hmm. I just assumed the Clippers were the ones that were like, all right, hey, man, like, let's shut this down. We gave you the extension, whatnot. But the Clippers have been very adamant.
They were mad.
Correct.
But the way Grant Hill put it out, because he got the first say-so, it was like the Clippers were up to some and snatched them in the middle of the night type stuff. And then next thing you know, when I hear the Clipper thing, it's like I'm confused at this point.
So I guess the other possibility, and we can never rule this out, Camp Kawhi. Camp Kawhi just shut it down. Like, they've done that before.
But why would the Clippers be acting this mad then?
Because I'm with you. Grant Hill doesn't really have incentive to lie, and he kind of did the, you know, this is the collaborative, whatnot, but it's like, when you read through, it's like, okay, the Clippers or someone shut it down. I mean, I also make the assumption, Kawhi wasn't too upset? Because I think if Kawhi pitches a fit,
they keep him.
Correct. Right?
Yeah, and another thing, too, I think if it was anything that had to do too strong with USA, that would hurt the Clippers, too, because Kawhi would feel like, this is my coach
right.
on the team. With
Why,
the, so that's what's making it
yeah.
so a little confusing. And, you know, usually we used to confusion, but we can get right. down to the bottom of stuff in sports. You know, we're used to somebody blowing smoke. So this is still a little confusion.
Yeah. I think the simple answer is the Clippers are trying to make it seem like that they didn't do it, but they did.
And they went as far as doing a press conference and going
so
through a
bizarre.
Rant.
That was so bizarre. Like, Lawrence Frankel's like yelling, like, this is odd. All right, we come back. We tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd, close out the week for Tell Your Story. I think we got to go with Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones was giving, when he was basically being questioned about not having the all the contracts that are up, he then goes on to this unbelievable soliloquy in which he's comparing himself in the end to an option quarterback, except the way he described playing option quarterback was he got all the way to the sideline before making a decision. But the problem with that is, like, that's not how you play option. Like, that you've now brought it in the sideline. That's a defender. Like, that's just bad option quarterback. I mean, it was... This stage of Jerry Jones is actually, like, laugh-out-loud funny because he's kind of losing his fastball. He's 81. But that's not, like, stop. Like, he still can't avoid a microphone. Like, he has to have the microphone. But, like, he just starts, like, wandering into la-la land, and he's still talking. The best. I'm greatly enjoying it. So shout-outs to Jerry Jones to close the week. Want to thank Blake Topmeyer for joining the program. Want to thank Coach Herd for being here all week. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Coach Herd, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.